On behalf of Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls, I'm your host, Susan Schirico. Welcome. It's my pleasure today to welcome my guest, Karen Lee Cohen. She's coming to the program, and she is the author of It's About Time, My Award-Winning TV Adventure. And she has the second book in progress, Let's Be Peace. So when I began to read her about her background, it turns out we have so many parallel threads to our lives. Karen is much more accomplished. She's an 8-time regional Emmy award-winning producer and executive producer. She's a former director at programs for WNBC TV in New York and founder and president of Crystal Pyramid Productions, which is a spiritually based production company. She's certified in Reiki, as I am. She's a different kind, but I'm higher up, I think, but we're both in Reiki. An energetic alchemist, which I would have to ask her exactly what that is. And she's really passionate about helping individuals explore their passion and purpose. So if you are in that place of wanting something more in life, and you don't know how to do it or how to get it, or if there's something you would love, just love to explore, be sure to listen to the end of this call and we will show you how to contact Karen. So let's find out some more about her. Please wave your hands to welcome and meet Karen Lee Cohen. Hello, Karen. Welcome.
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. It's a pleasure.
You're more than welcome. You've earned every word of it. You have had such a rich and full life. Why did you decide to write your memoir? I mean, it's About Time, My Award-Winning TV Adventure.
It's funny because a lot of people had asked me over the years to write it. And it was only during the pandemic. I'm very involved with my alumnus. I went to Columbia College in Chicago, and I'm on the alumni board. And in 2021, we were having a Zoom forum for some grads, and I was in the room for people who were considering going to another city because they're all in Chicago. I'm in LA, and for whatever reason, I decided I was going to put one of my Emmys on so that they could see it. And needless to say, it created a lot of chatter, and a couple of the students looked at me and said, "You have to write a book about how to win an Emmy." And I said, "Well, you can't really quantify how to write an Emmy, nor would the Emmy group allow me to use the title Emmy, which I later got confirmed. It's a trademark. I could use it in the book, but not in the cover or the back cover." But it was kind of like the impetus, and maybe because of the pandemic and having a little bit of extra time, it seemed to be the time to sit down and write it. So I did. And for some reason, I got the idea to write to some of my colleagues and friends and relatives and say, and this was before I had written a word, to say, you know, send me your memories. And a bunch did, about 40 people did. And what I ended up doing is putting some of their memories, not all of them. But when I write a chapter, and then I would end it with a couple of memories from family or friends that was appropriate to the chapter. So that's the whole history.
What is the significance of the title, It's About Time?
Well, by the time I won my first Emmy, I had been nominated many, 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 many times. This is local television. So it's very common, you know, almost everything you get produced can be nominated, but I hadn't won. And so my first Emmy was for a show called NBC Salute Chic Chicago, and it was a music variety special, and it was really quite special. And that was obviously when I was in Chicago. And when I got up to receive it, I said, "It's been a long time, but what I meant is it's about time." And so that became the title of the book.
And very apt. It's perfect. You know, I noticed you mentioned so many accomplished people that you worked with over the years, you know, both producers and talent. And I'm sure you've had the pleasure to work with them and half live with them on some of these projects which were longstanding. But one of them really stood out for me personally, because I worked with him for 5 years. Woody Fraser.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was his executive in charge of production on Home and Family on the Hallmark Channel. The show ran 9 years, but I was with him for five. So I think you mentioned that you worked with him on a Della Reese project.
Della Reese had a music variety special. It was actually the first job that I took when I came. I've lived in LA twice, and this my first time out. And Woody, well, his line producer was a man named Rocco Abisi, who I had known from Chicago. And he introduced me to Woody, and they were just starting production. This was like in 1969, I'm aging myself. It was a music variety daily show. Adela was the first person of color to have her own music variety show. It was five days a week. It was syndicated by RKO, and it was fabulous. And first of all, Della is an extraordinary human, both on this side and the other side. And so working with her and doing music variety, and I eventually got the job of associate director. So I was timing all of the acts, and there were just every musical talent in the world came out to do the show because they loved Della. That's the only reason they did it. So. Well, and I'm sure Woody, because Woody had his pull. He had been on the Mike Douglas show for many years. So between the two of them, the experience was just extraordinary. And fortunately for me, Del and I stayed in touch. I it would be strong to say friends, but whenever we were in the same city, I would go see her perform. And I became friends with her husband, Franklin Lett, who I'm still in touch with. So but Woody, you know, he's quite a character. And
yes, he is. He just had a birthday yesterday.
I didn't know that.
Well, yes, I believe he's 89 years old.
Oh, God bless him.
God bless him. Yeah. He is, yeah, but he is a character. Never stopped being a character.
and yes. and delightful.
And I honestly can say I learned more about the craft of storytelling working with him, because he had such an eye for it. It wasn't always easy for the producers to take it because he asked such piercing questions of them, but he could find, what's the why? Always remember, what's the why behind this story? Why are we doing this? Why is it important? And I had, it really seared it into my brain. That is a critical piece of information.
It's interesting. I never remembered that came from Woody, but considering it was one of my first jobs in television, I probably did get that from Woody. So thank you, Woody.
I also know another one of your good friends, Susan Simons.
Oh my gosh.
When I was doing Home and Family, we had many directors on the show because it was a studio piece, and she represented them. So I got to know her, and we went out to lunch once or twice. So I loved her. She's great.
And she just had a birthday.
She just had a birthday.
On the 12th. Yes. Yeah. Oh, she's one of my very dearest friends. Yeah, I've been very blessed with her friendship over the years.
Yes. So another common ground that I discovered, of course, is your spiritual involvement. And did you find that it did help you in your personal growth in the business, and in what way?
Looking back and writing the prescriptive memoir, yes. While I was doing it, I had no idea. it was probably the greatest gift in writing the memoir, because I realized the angels and the guides that had been assisting me throughout my life, but I had no consciousness of that until probably, I was probably 40 years old before I became that aware of angels and guides and of the different dimensions that our intuition is all part of. And I work with a woman now named Sue Storm, who is the angel lady, and she's written some wonderful books about angel for first aid. And I met her about 5 years ago, and she has helped me totally expand. I mean, I now have names. Rita is a great angel to help you with writing, so I'm passing that along to whoever wants to try writing. And I now have names for different angels that I call on Bernard and Raymond for technology issues, which happen a lot.
Nowadays, that's a big one. That's a good one to know.
Oh, it's fun. And I mean, I highly, at the back of my book, there's a list of acknowledgments, and I have the people who I call teammates who I've encountered throughout the years, and their email addresses are there for anybody who wants to reach them. But when I look back, I absolutely am aware of my spirituality. But at the time, I think I was just walking through and not paying attention. I mean, at a very young age, I chose to not follow any organized religion. And I studied different religions before I made that decision, and do observe the traditions of my birth religion and, my parents. But it just very early on, I'd ask my father questions like, what came before God? That's not a question your father wants to hear. I still don't have an answer, by the way, Susan. And one of the things I say, forgive that. One of the things that that I believe is that, we are all one, and that it's not a well, and another one of my questions was, why there's so many wars in the name of religion, which I forgive me for stumbling, but because of what's going on right
Oh,
now,
yes. At this point in time, it is staggering to comprehend what is going on.
and
You know,
I didn't understand it when I was 5 years old, and I don't understand it now that I'm
after older. Yes.
yeah, it
So
just
what was your journey? I mean, as you didn't, you weren't particularly devout in any one philosophy or approach. Were there certain teachers that stood out to you over time?
I can't really give you an order. Carolyn Mace, when I met her, that she's extraordinary to me. Woman, and this is more recently that I discovered a woman named Patricia Cote Robles, who has a organization called Era of Peace, and she's channels or speaks with a group that she calls the Company of Angels. And she has very much, and she has a website full of information, and a weekly vlog that is free. And it's giving messages about how we're all one, about, what's going on and how we can take care of each other, and that kind of thing. I can't, when I was younger, I don't really think I had anybody specific. But one of the things that I've done all my life is I take in a lot of information, and then what works for me, I make my own, and what doesn't. So I don't really follow anybody or anything. And my father, God bless him, once said, "Well, who's your guru?" And I say, "I have no guru." I take this information and what works for me. And so I'm now that you're asking, Susan, I've been blessed with the ability to, I just there's just certain things I know that work for me, and it's only for me. I don't preach it to anybody else. Well, I do a little bit, but not a lot. But if it works for me, that becomes my philosophy. And so I don't really attribute it to anybody or anything specifically. It's just what is resonating with me.
So you are in your credits a spiritual coach, a life coach, spiritual life coach. And is that your own technique of how you approach it, or did you actually go to a particular organization?
It's totally my own technique, and most of what I do is pro bono. It's just something that I've been a mentor as long as I can remember, and I enjoy helping people find their purpose, and I think that's part of spirituality, finding out, I just found out my purpose a couple years ago. but it's guide. It is my own technique, guiding people to go inside and find out what they resonate with.
Now, one of the things you mentioned in the book is what you call dysfunctional television, and that how it set you on the path to start your own company, Crystal Pyramid Productions. Has it been possible to develop the kind of programming that you've wanted to produce or positive content when you started? Has it gotten any easier? What's your experience of that?
Well, I've developed a lot. I haven't sold. But I think there's a couple of stories, you know, in the book. I was out with a show called Positively Speaking, which dear friends of mine had created in Canada, and this wonderful syndicator. And syndicator is someone who takes shows and sells it to a variety of people. And I took him and he said, "Karen, this is great." I said, "But I can't sell positive." And the reality was, at that time, you couldn't. We're now evolving to a time where people are much more aware of it. I'm not out pitching like I used to be. So I think it would be easier. I mean, I'm still seeing a lot of my colleagues having issues getting stuff on the air. But there's more people out there pitching it, and you know, there's, you know, more positive. I mean, I think you know, Della Reese's Touched by an Angel, I think, you know, that was back in, you know, the early 2000s. I mean, everything that they did on that show, and I hadn't watched it. I was too busy working at the time, but I very recently started watching them, and they're just wonderful. This Marta Williamson, I mean, who's the executive producer, and there is not a show that isn't relevant in today's timing. So I give her a great deal of credit for being ahead of it. So there are people who have been doing it, and I think it's becoming more pervasive. And you know, part of my long-term goals are, about 12 years ago, I was with a group. We were looking to do an alternative health and wellness channel. Mm-hmm. Had funding at one point, and then that fell through. And I realized that now that's a mission. That's part of my mission, and I will start doing so after the Let's Be Peace book and podcast are done. I will
jump into that
streaming alternative health and wellness.
It is interesting because I have, in the course of all my wanderings in the past few years, I discovered a transformational TV channel, but it's not broadcast. It's an internet. It's a digital internet channel, and they have there's an overarching umbrella, which is the main channel, and then they have 10 channels within or under the umbrella. And one of them is, for example, a spiritual channel, and one of them is a cooking channel, and one of them would be a health and wellness channel. And so they have, that is their mission now, is to bring everything under an umbrella that's strictly transformational. They're up in the Seattle area and have been, you know, that seems to be a natural place for something digital to occur. But I think that's happening, and being able to, you know, this with streaming, we have so much more ability to use the digital platform and get content out. I think we'll see a lot more as people take advantage of that.
Yeah,
it's much less, you know, it's not as expensive as it was to do. You know, you can start with a shoestring and go from there. So I think there's a lot to be said for the possibilities of making the spiritual realm, you know, more prevalent.
I have a friend out of New York who's involved with one of those streaming channels, and you know, he keeps saying, as soon as it gets going, we'll have you do stuff. But there are more and more opportunities. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what this evolved time that we're in is, much mm-hmm. as it doesn't necessarily seem that way on the outside.
And it gives us an opportunity to keep our hand in it for a long, long time.
You and I will do, because that's who we are.
That's exactly right. You know, I'm a coach as well. And in the course of, you know, working with different groups, I have been very involved with Mary Morrissey's group, which is Brave Thinking Institute. And I have found that being a coach, I love being a coach and I love having those ideas to share with others. But there's a part of me that keeps reaching back to television or to, media, and to have that effect of having a project that reaches a global audience, which I'm happy to say my podcast does. And I'm in 14 countries around the world. So there's,
Wonderful.
isn't that fun? I love it. Who knew? So you are, how did you begin to formulate the concept for Let's Be Peace, which is the second book?
Look, the concept came to me. I worked for the singer Jewel, and actually her mother ran her production company, and that's who I was working for, Lenedra Carroll. And Lenedra published a book right around the time I was working for her, and her book was called The Architecture of Abundance. And in it, she talks about being peace is how we're going to create peace by each one of us individually being peace. And I just immediately resonated with me. And so I started signing all my social media hashtag be peace. And I was talking to my niece Alyssa one day, and I said, What do you think of that? She said, well, it's too demanding. He said, okay. I get that. And I at the same time, I was taking my Reiki and energetic alchemy courses from this woman, Dorothy Lee Donahue. And she kept talking about when she was in business, she never told anybody to do something. She would say, let's do. And so that kind of resonated with me. So I changed it to hashtag let's be peace. And that has been kind of my mantra for, for at least a decade. And I was going to follow up the It's About Time book with a book about my spirituality and alternative health and wellness. And I started writing that. It just wasn't feeling it wasn't flowing. And I realized I've taken several courses from a woman named Sarah Connell, who has a company called Thought Leader Academy. And in one of the sessions with her, I said, you know what? I need to do a collaborative book. I need for the health and wellness part. I know what works for me, but I need experts to tell our readers what those modalities are. So when they read it, they can decide if they resonate with it or not. And so that was, I don't know, just about a year ago that I decided needed to be a collaborative book. So I've been gathering these wonderful experts. It has grown so beautifully. I had a core group of people that I thought would be in it, and they're recommending other people, and it's become so so much bigger than
Fantastic.
that. And I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever it's supposed to be, it's going to become. So I'm very excited about the expertise that is coming to the book, and we'll eventually do the podcast. And a friend of mine, when I first started with the idea, said to me, Karen, this isn't a book, it's a movement. And I went, okay, I think you're right. So
It
that
gives it
resonated.
a different bump up of feeling, doesn't it? There's a sort of energy that comes with that. Yes.
Absolutely, Susan. It was like,
Absolutely.
okay, I think you're right. So now it, yes, it is a movement, and I will probably, it's very possible that because it's taking me a while to get all the collaborators together, I'll probably start the podcast with using a lot of these experts and other people after the first of the year, and it'll happen in its own right timing.
So
So
you don't have a set date for when you expect it to be out yet.
I do not. I'm
Okay.
hoping the book. I'm hoping first quarter next year, and the podcast hopefully first quarter 2024. But I do not.
So until you get to that point, where can people go to learn more about the Let's Be Peace movement and activities?
So glad you asked. Right now, it's mentioned on my website, letsbepeace.com. And if you sign up, to get the newsletter, which I'm also going to start the first of the year, then all of the information about what's happening will be there. And that's, of course, where you can purchase my book, It's About Time, my award-winning TV adventure. You can also get It's About Time on Amazon, whatever is most convenient.
Mm-hmm. Is it not available on Barnes and Noble or any of the other internet booksellers?
Not yet.
Okay.
There's a Barnes and Noble in my neighborhood who's going to be doing a separate contract for me, but right now it's just on my website and on Amazon. If you go to my website, you can sign up for a signed copy. If you go to Amazon, you can get the Kindle or the book at Amazon. And just all you have to do is put in my name, Karen Lee Cohen, and it comes up. So
it comes right up. Did you explore the idea of doing an audio version?
Oh, everybody asks me, so I guess I'm supposed to.
Well, you know that old expression of you don't want to leave money on the table.
Yeah, but it's taking it's sitting down and actually doing the audio. We're doing two.
Well, it's interesting because I always thought I would do the audio for mine. I do not have an audio version, but the more I've talked to different publishers over the years, they are interested in having professional actresses do those readings.
Even for a memoir?
Yeah, they have that. It's because they come with their own audience, people who follow what they do. And so they can get some momentum as soon as the audio comes out and there's clubs and activities that where people are followed and mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer to that yet, because I really did want to do my own memoir myself. It made sense to me, but I haven't gotten that response. So
well, let's keep in touch and we'll figure it out together.
There you go. I know it's really been a, I look at it and there are so many people that don't read. They go run, they're running on the beach and they've got those ear pods in and they're listening while they run, and they are driving and they're listening. So it is a whole audience that we are not reaching in the course of not having an audio version. So.
And you are not the first to point that out to me. So I have a feeling I have to spend some time really considering it. But while we're talking about it, it makes sense to me for Let's Be Peace.
Mm-hmm.
That could be different voices.
Right.
That to be an audio book. So I need to seriously look at that too.
And I they are very popular. There's no doubt about it. And they're, they have their own awards, and they have, talent awards for the best voices and presentations. It's like getting an Emmy.
So, oh, I know. I have a neighbor who does a lot. She's an actor, and she does a lot of audiobooks, but it's pricey.
Yes, it is indeed. So where do you currently market?
I'm sorry, when?
How do you currently market now for your books?
Mostly podcasts and social media. I've done, I've done about half a dozen television shows, virtual, and three or four radio shows. But it's really, it's a very slow process. So, I do media relations for a company called Premier TV. And about a dozen of the people that I work with from there have requested an interview with me, and so that's been fun. That's all on my website.
Cool. I'll have to look that part up. So are there any last thoughts that you would like to make sure you cover for our listeners, Karen?
Somebody recently asked me a question, what I would advise people to be in peace. And my answer was, and I think I'm going to start doing more with this, was to love and trust yourself. And that's a message that I really want people. The whole idea of being peace is being peace inside. Let's not worry about everybody else. When we're peace inside, I do believe that health and wellness is attached to being peaceful, that when we're peaceful, we will be healthier and more well. But if it's for a catchphrase at the moment, it's love and trust yourself. And I believe that you will become peaceful. It's worth a try.
Wise woman. Wise woman with words like that.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for being with us today, Karen. You know, for the benefit of our listeners, we've been speaking with Karen Lee Cohen about her life and book, It's About Time, My Award-Winning TV Adventure, as well as upcoming projects, Let's Be Peace. So thank you all for listening. And thanks to all who support this program. We appreciate you all. And as we bring this in for a landing, Karen, thanks again for being on the show. Bye for now and have a great day.